those nooks and crannies in between. Kate Delaney, America tonight. So excited about our next guest. We're going to usher him in from our virtual green room. His name is Robert Menard, and he's really like a motivational guy. He wrote a cool book called You Negotiate It. I think I need to hire him as an agent because he needs to negotiate it for me. But the thing that's so neat about Robert is this is something we've talked about for a long time on America Tonight. The need to speak different languages. Everywhere I go, somebody is speaking a different language, but it's not English. Now, we're not going to get into that whole English-Spanish discussion, but I'm serious. You know, if you can speak different languages, imagine the things that you're able to negotiate, honestly. Like if I could speak a little Italian, even a little French, how fun would that be? Well, he speaks all kinds of languages. French is one of his main languages. He also speaks some Italian, a little Russian. He's going to work on the Chinese. Robert, put down the latte and come on in and join us. Seriously, I think it's an incredible feat to be able to speak different languages. Did you just have a gift for that? Was that something that you picked up when you were a kid?
Well, I think we all have a native ability. Certainly those who are thrust into having to learn a language, they learn it because of necessity. But I did speak French as a kid, but I do find that I have an affinity for it, and I like it, and I try to speak just the way the natives do. And it served me well.
So if you were to teach the audience, because we do have a lot of French Canadians that listen to us. We get calls from people in Montreal. Specifically, Sam is one of practically our nightly callers. If we were going to say something in French to Sam, like, hello, how are you? How do you say that?
Well, here's how you would greet him because you have a friendly relationship. You would say, ça va, mon ancien.
Ça va, mon ancien.
Hello, close. Ça va. And then mon ancien, that means, how's it going, my old friend?
There you go.
Yeah, it's a friendly greeting that you would use for someone that you have a relationship with.
Yeah. Now, the French, isn't the French language known for a lot of double entendres? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, that's because the way the language is spoken. Let me give you an example. The French letters E, E accent aigu, which is the accent, and the verb endings ER, ET, AI, and EZ are all pronounced A. On the other hand, the common third-person plural verb ending, which is spelled AIENT, is silent. So you're never quite sure which tense is being used. That's why there's so much clarification as opposed to in Italian where you know just by how the verb ends exactly what the person is, and you never use the personal pronouns because it's understood. It's because of the tense of the verb.
Let's talk about Italian. I have a lot of friends that have been to Italy. I went to Italy a long time ago, and I was very blonde at the time, and I just remember that I was being chased all over the place, and I really think it was because of the blonde hair, and there were so many dark-haired women. So the Italian language itself is supposed to be a romance language, right? Why is it a romance language? What is it about the way the Italians speak?
Well, the romance comes from Roman. So the Romance languages, there are five of them, French, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, and Romanian. So those are all Romance languages. Italian might be considered Romance in a different sense because it is so sonorous. It is so easy on the ears as opposed to the harsh, guttural sounds of the French and the very clipped rate at which the Spaniards and Portuguese speak.
Okay, so you got to tell us something in Italian, since I have some, every once in a while, people get hot under the collar, and you know how that is. They jump on the soapbox, and whatever it is that we're talking about, whether it's the oil spill or something else that's going on in Washington, D.C., the lack of action. If we wanted to tell somebody they were crazy in Italian, how do we say that?
if you're from Jersey, if you're from the Northeast, where there's a large Italian concentration, you'll hear the expression "du di pazzo," and people understand that means it's really it has evolved from the Italian "tu e pazzo." "Tu e pazzo" means you're crazy, And Pazzo is spelled P-A-Z-Z-O, like pizza, Pazzo.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when people see it written, they're kind of confused. That's where you spell that word. That's where you pronounce that word. But Tui Pazzo, which is just crazy, is
I
often,
like that.
You will often hear it heard said as Tui
Pazzo. Yeah. Tui Pazzo. Tui Pazzo. I'm going to have to say that to my friends back in South Philly who insist on calling red sauce gravy. It's gravy.
Gravy. That's exactly right. That's the expression for it. Yeah.
Exactly. Do you want some more gravy? The first time my friend Lisa Ficarra said that to me, Robert, I had no idea. I'm like, gravy on my pasta? What are you talking about? She's like, you're too Irish. You need to get some Italian in you. Something's wrong with you. So, you know, we talk about language. It's funny. And I got a note from you, and you made such a good point of this. You said, we Yanks are English-ocentric, but mm-hmm. now because of the global trade, and this is happening really in all the industries, it's probably better to open up your mind and maybe learn some at least basic phrases. If you were going to jump on some languages, obviously Spanish we know would have to be one of them. But what else do you think people should learn if they were going to try to broaden their base, maybe just to get a little friendly with some business?
Well, the old expression is where you sit depends upon where you stand. So if you are in business, and much of the sourcing these days by business is done in what's called low-cost sourcing countries. That would be India, particularly China. China is the manufacturer of the world these days. So in addition to visiting the country, it would be polite. The Chinese would view it as being polite if you would learn to speak a few words in Chinese. Hello, or how are you doing, things like that. It's probably very difficult for someone to learn to speak Chinese, but it looks so much more inviting. You seem so much more respectful if you go out of your way to learn a few words of the language. So Chinese would be a big one for people doing business overseas. That's by far the biggest one right now.
Yeah, I agree with you. I went to school in Madrid for a while, and I found that the people were very embracing. If you just tried to speak, Robert, you know, you just gave it a good effort, they would help you. If you stumbled, they weren't making fun of you. They would just tell you what you were actually struggling to say, and I thought they were very gracious about it. And I really believe if you just make that little effort, that's what happens. You can reach out, and you can accomplish a lot more. Hey, you even, I guess, speak a little bit of Russian, but that was because of a girlfriend, right?
She helped improve my Russian, but I was learning Russian because I was looking at a business opportunity, and it was really necessary to speak the language. So in a fortunate happenstance, I happened to meet a woman who had newly emigrated from Russia to the United States, and she became my coach-in-chief in learning the language, and it was a good experience all around, shall we say.
Can you tell us something in Russian, just anything?
Yeah, the here's how Russians will say hello, and it's very it's peculiar on the American ears. They will say "Здравствуйте, как поживаете," which is "Hello, how are you?"
Tough.
It's really odd on your ears. So the short version, like if you were going to speak to your French Canadian friends, "Ça va, mon ancien," the short version for friends is "Как дела?" Which is
wow.
a lot easier.
Wow. Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to have to play this back several times to get that, and I'll quiz the listeners on that, too. Hey, we started off saying that, you know, you grew up speaking French, but you grew up in a town in Rhode Island, right? Did you grow up in Rhode Island?
That's exactly right. Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Not the edge of the earth, but you can see it from there.
Ba-dum-bum. That was pretty good. I got to give you credit for it. So did everybody, when you were a kid, I mean, obviously you were in the United States, did everybody pretty much get the French-English thing?
Well, it was spoken almost like you see today in immigrant communities. There had long been a big French-Canadian population. In fact, in a lot of New England, where there are all the mills, they were populated by French Canadians who came down from Canada because a lot of the mill owners, especially textiles, came from France. So there was a big population, and you would find newspapers. The French was the language that was in the stores, in the schools.
Wow.
To speak French. So that was, I just grew up assuming everyone spoke both languages, but now I know better. So let me ask you, what do you call someone who speaks three languages?
There's a joke in this, I know it. And you probably told it to me, trilingual?
Trilingual. Two languages.
Bilingual.
Just one language.
I don't know.
American.
That's brutal. Well, you broke the mold then, because you're American, you spoke two, and now you're on your way to who knows how many languages you're going to end up speaking. Since that's what you do, you're all about the negotiation thing, this would help in, you know, there used to be a beer commercial, and it was the guy was going to Japan, and he learned some phrases, but he butchered it. It was a very funny commercial. So you got to be careful when you learn a language that you know exactly what you're saying. But I would think in negotiations, in the art of negotiating, like you mentioned with the Chinese, that would probably help you if you just knew, like you mentioned, a couple of key things, just even the hello, how are you, right?
Well, I think it puts you, the language is the gateway to the culture. And if you understand a little bit of the language, you are closer in touch to the people, and you see how they react when they say certain common phrases, or the expressions, the French with their hands, the Japanese, they're very, very much have no affect when they speak. And it's just a window into, wow, how do they think? Why do they act like that? And when you imitate it, you can't be afraid to imitate what they say or how they say it. That's part of speaking the language. And when you do that, there is a greater affinity. So there's a greater trust, and negotiation has a better foundation on which to build. It's not necessarily adversarial. There is a closeness that you wouldn't get without that affinity.
Yeah, no kidding. Robert, it was a delight having you on. And again, Robert's book is You Negotiated. Robert, again, thanks for coming on America Tonight.